Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Ryan, we'll dive into chapter 39 of Jeremiah today. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord God, for another day we get to dive into your word. God, your word is so rich of love and of grace and of mercy and of lessons. And God, we thank you that we get to receive your word. We thank you, Lord God, that we get to come before you. God, I pray, open eyes, open ears, open hearts, open minds, your Holy Spirit to speak and minister to your people, as you know, we each need you this morning. I pray, God, that I would decrease and you would increase. That be your word, your love, your truth for your people this morning. God, give us the direction we need, the things we're facing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we are diving into chapter 39 of Jeremiah today. So previously in Jeremiah's story, our friend has been having a tough season, a long, tough season, right? So last few chapters we've been reading how Zedekiah was made king, current king over Judah, after the nation of Babylon attacked. And Zedekiah is very hot and cold towards Jeremiah, right? One minute he's not paying attention to him and ignoring him. Next minute he's asking him to pray for God over him, right? One minute Jeremiah is being imprisoned in the courtyard of Zedekiah, even thrown into a cistern over some false accusations. And then the next day he's being rescued from death by the king's word, right? So in the previous chapter, we find that King Zedekiah is asking Jeremiah for a word from God, right? He's really trying to figure out what's going on. And so Jeremiah responds with the same word, as we'll hear shortly, as the last few chapters, multiple chapters of the same response to King Zedekiah, that Babylon is preparing to attack and burn down the city. And the king is told that if he surrenders, him and his family will be spared. However, he doesn't listen to God. He doesn't surrender. The city and his family will be destroyed. And spoiler alert, the last verse of chapter 38, it's entitled The Fall of Jerusalem. So we know what comes next, right? That's where we find ourselves today in chapter 39. So again, the fall of Jerusalem, last verse of 38, going into today. So Jeremiah chapter 39. The ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army and laid siege to it. Now the ninth day of the fourth month, Zedekiah's 11th year, the city wall was broken through. All the officials of the king of Babylon came and took seats in the middle gate. Nergal-Sharezer of Samgar, Nebo-Sarsekim, the chief officer, Nergal-Sharezer, high official, and all the other officials of the king of Babylon. When Zedekiah, king of Judah, and all the soldiers saw them, they fled. He left the city at night by way of the king's garden, through the gate between the two walls, and headed toward the Arabah. The Babylonian army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. They captured him and took him to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, at Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced sentence on him. There at Riblah, king of Babylon slaughtered the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and also killed all the nobles of Judah. Then he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze shackles, take him to Babylon. Babylonians set fire to the royal palace and the houses of the people and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, carried into exile to Babylon the people who remained in the city, along with those who had gone over to him and the rest of the people. Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, left behind in the land of Judah some of the poor people who owned nothing, and at that time gave them vineyards and fields. But Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had given these orders about Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard. Take him and look after him. Don't harm him, but do for him whatever he asks. So Nebuzaradan, the commander of the guard, Nebushazban, the chief officer, Nergal Sharezer, the high official, and all the other officers of the king of Babylon sent and had Jeremiah taken out of the courtyard of the guard. He turned him over to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, take him back to his home. So he remained among his own people. While Jeremiah had been confined to the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him. Go and tell Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I am about to fulfill my words against this city, words concerning the disaster, not prosperity. At that time, they will be fulfilled before your eyes. But I will rescue you on that day, declares the Lord. You will not be given into the hands of those you fear. I will save you. You will not fall by the sword, but will escape with your life, because you trust in me, declares the Lord. Amen to God's word. All right, so gonna stretch, a sip of water if you need to. See what we got today from God. So here in this chapter of 39, we're really seeing a stark contrast in the outcomes of these two men, right? We're seeing fall of Jerusalem from two different perspectives, right? From Zedekiah's perspective in the first half and Jeremiah's in the second half, right? So verses 1 through 10, we're looking at what happens to Zedekiah during this attack. In this chapter here in Jeremiah actually parallels the historical accounts also found in Jeremiah chapter 52, in 2 Kings 25, and 2 Chronicles 36. Again, so this is all historical accounts, historical facts and events, right? So we read throughout this account and other accounts about Zedekiah. And he was, at this time, he was in his late 20s, early 30s during the Babylonian attack. He became king when he was 21, and he reigned for 11 years. This is the 11th years when Nebuchadnezzar attacked. And we see Nebuchadnezzar, which is a common method of attack, which is laying siege to a city. So when you besiege a city, completely surrounded by his troops, it prevents all business, all trade, all commerce from happening, and leaves the city really isolated and starvation mode. Just no food can't get in, supplies can't get in. And so really after it's a process, right? And so he said how from the 9th year, the 10th month of his reign, the 11th month in the 4th year, about a year and a half of siege over the city of Jerusalem. And what happened? What does Zedekiah do in the face of this attack? Does he come out and fight? He ready to take charge and stand up for his people? He doesn't. He leaves the city. He leaves his people behind under the cover of nightfall, which we again shows his poor, neglectful leadership. And ironically, if you go back to chapter 37, when Jeremiah is falsely accused, he's actually accused of doing this very thing. He's accused in chapter 37 of deserting his people and going over to Babylon. And so we're seeing here how the king is actually doing what Jeremiah was accused of, right? And so we're seeing here not just the neglectful, selfish leadership, but the hypocritical, Hippocratic leadership, right? And so it says that Zedekiah and his officials went towards Arabah, which in the NIV version we're reading here, there's a footnote saying the Jordan Valley, right? So this Jordan Valley was a decent distance away from Jerusalem. So, and he knew that if he could just cross the Jordan River there in the valley, I think he'd get the safety, right? And so it says when they were captured just outside the Jordan Valley, you're only about an hour away from safety. You're only about an hour's m travel more to getting across the river and getting to the other side. And being some commentaries, he said that how much more frustrating and bitter would that journey have been. You're so close. You can almost see your safety and your deliverance, your personal escape on the other side, only then to come and be captured, right? Because the reality is, you cannot outrun God's plans or God's justice. Amen. We see it happen time and time again. People think they can get away with something. Even we have people in their own lives we think are getting away with something, maybe. Maybe they hurt us. Maybe they offended us. Maybe they, they talk about us, whatever it might be. We think that they're going to get away with it from our eyes, but God's perspective and God's plans, we can't run those plans. So God's justice, either it's on this side of heaven or the next, God's justice always prevails. And we read about what happens to Zedekiah and his family and his nobles as a result of that capture from King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm reading this, and honestly, it's not my cup of tea, right? I'm not a big gory person. I'm not into scary movies, that kind of stuff, right? And again, the Bible is some dark things we read sometimes, but everything is in here for a reason. Everything is in here because God's showing the full extent of not only the depravity of humanity and the awful horribleness of these other nations and the attacks against his people. It also just shows what happens, the full consequences of our own actions. Because the hardest, most unbelievable part of this whole chapter to read for me is not what happened to King Zedekiah or to his family or to the nobles. The hardest, most unbelievable part for me is why it happened to them. Because after chapter upon chapter upon chapter, God's warning, Zedekiah still chooses not to obey. And it breaks my heart reading these kind of things, but it also breaks my heart more knowing that this is what he chose. If we look back, in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 3 through 5, and Jeremiah 34, verses 2 through 5, and Jeremiah 38, so the last chapter before, verses 17 through 23. This is in chapter 38. It says, "Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, 'This is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. If you surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, your life will be spared, and the city will not be burned down. You and your family will live. But if you will not surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, this city will be given into the hands of the Babylonians, and they will burn it down. You yourself will not escape from them. Obey the Lord by doing what I tell you, then it will go well with you, and your life will be spared.'" And this prophecy, verbatim, like word for word, is repeated over and over and over again in those other chapters of Jeremiah, because God's word confirms God's word. God cannot contradict himself. This is what God said. This is what he's going to do. Because he's a promise-keeping, trustworthy God. Even the promises he doesn't want to keep. Nothing about this situation and this outcome pleased God. It breaks my heart to read. It breaks our heart to listen to. But how much more did it break God's heart to watch this transpire? It's heartbreaking seeing people who not only choose deliberately to sin, but who chose over and over and over again to refuse God's rescue, to refuse to submit and repent and turn back to God. Zedekiah had every opportunity not to do this. He had every opportunity to stay with his people, to save his people, to save his family, to save his nobles, save his city. Time and time again, he refused. It's hard to read, but it's also hard to know that it's easy to judge as Zedekiah, right? Oh, well, I wouldn't have done that, but what a fool. That's not a smart decision. How many times, I'll speak to myself, how many times have I made the same mistake over and over and over before I finally had to get to that consequence, that feeling, like, oh, that wasn't a good choice. Oh, I need to turn back to God. Right? And we all have those things in our lives that we struggle with. And for Zedekiah, he struggled with this rebellion spirit against God. We see how the spiritual blindness of Zedekiah, through his own actions, his own choices, leads to a physical blindness. And the spiritual death of his rejection, of his refusal to listen to God, leads to physical death, not only to him, but to those around him, right? Again, it's hard to read this and see the goodness of God in this, but God is so merciful that he gives clear direction. He gives clear next steps. He gives a clear choice through his word. Again, because those who don't learn from history, this history of the Bible, are doomed to repeat it. God had this example in the Bible, Zedekiah, the full story of his downfall and downfall of Jerusalem. Because God's trying to teach us something. He wants to make known that this way of life, by following the example of Zedekiah, leads to blindness, leads to death, physically and spiritually. More importantly, spiritual death and blindness. Because see, even though God doesn't want this for his people, he doesn't want this outcome for you or for me, for Zedekiah, God loves us too much not to give us free will. God, he loves us so much because free will is love. He's not a dictator God. He doesn't demand love out of word. He's love out of compliance, right? He's not demanding love like a dictator. He's not a dictator God. He's a God that wants his people to want him, desire him, have their own hearts. And again, God breaks his heart to see this outcome, because if they haven't listened or learned by now, and this isn't just from Zedekiah, right? You can go back to Deuteronomy under Moses' leadership. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, Moses tells the Israelites then, he says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him." It's a choice. Choose life. Choose that you may love the Lord your God. Choose to listen to his voice. Choose to hold fast to him. This is God's word through Moses to the Israelites. We see here again that God's word hasn't changed. God hadn't changed since the time of the Israelites under Moses, the time here through Jeremiah and the King Zedekiah. And they're the same promises, the same choice we are given today. He's the same God from under Moses, under Zedekiah, under whoever the next leader of this country or this world is going to be, right? So how much this breaks God's heart to hear and to see his people choose to disobey. How much does it break God, breaks God's heart today when we choose to disobey, when we choose death and destruction? So when God speaks, whether it's through somebody else, through his word, through a worship song, through a circumstance, through a sign, whatever you hear or experience God speaking to you through, please listen. Listen to God's word. Listen to God's best for your life. If you're not sure if it's God's word, ask him. Pray. He'll confirm it. Again, because God's word confirms God's word. And he's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He wants to confirm his word with us. So he gives Zedekiah that same prophecy over and over and over again. Confirm and give him that chance to come and return to him. The reality is that refusal to surrender is costing us something. That lack of humility, that inability to submit to God, it's not costing just us something. It's also going to cost those around us something. So our first application question as we go through today, going back to Deuteronomy 30, 15. What are you choosing today? Life or death? Blessing or cursing? Are you seeking to love the Lord your God, to listen to his voice, and to hold fast to him more today than yesterday? Don't be like Zedekiah, please. Choose life. Choose blessing. Choose prosperity for yourself and those around you. Switching gears, second half of chapter 39, verses 11 through 18, you get the contrast of what happened to Jeremiah through the downfall of Jerusalem. Again, Nebuchadnezzar comes in with all his officials, his princes, and what's he tell them to do to Jeremiah in verse 12? It says, take him and look after him. Don't harm him, but do for him whatever he asks. God protects his people. Amen. Again, God hasn't changed. The same God from the beginning of the Bible to end of the Bible to today, right? And so Psalm 91 is a reminder of what we see here in Jeremiah, right? Psalm 91 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Jumping down to verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. They will not come near you. You only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. He acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. You see, that same promise of God's protection we read in Psalms 91 is lived out here in Jeremiah, right? A few chapters ago in Jeremiah 29, I taught SOAP that day as well. And that lesson from Jeremiah 29 SOAP comes back again and again and again as a theme throughout the rest of this book, right? That God already has a plan to rescue us before he brings us into exile. God told Jeremiah that the Babylonians were going to come and overtake them, and in 70 years' time, they'll be delivered and set free. He's simply saying here to Jeremiah that Jeremiah is about to be led into exile for the Babylonians to be captured, but God already has the plan to rescue him and protect him through this. And there's a Hebrew phrase, Elohim Shamri, God is my protector. And we're seeing that name of God, Elohim Shamri, lived out here. Again, if you reorder verse 18 in Jeremiah, that last verse, action, reaction, right? action. Because you trust in me, declares the Lord, reaction, I will save you. Our action, we need to trust him first, see his reaction, he will save you. And going back even that same verse, Jeremiah 39:18. Why does that sound so familiar? It sounds so familiar because go back again to Psalm 91. What did it say? Verse 14, Psalm 91. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him. He acknowledges my name. He will call on me. I will answer him. Right? Again, that action-reaction sequence. We love God, he rescues us. We acknowledge his name, he protects us. We call on him, he answers us. Because you trust in me, declares the Lord, I will save you, right? And it doesn't matter if it's a physical battle, mental battle, emotional battle, spiritual battle, financial battle, relational battle, whatever that looks like, whatever you need saving from today, he will save you from. You're able to say, because I trust in you first. Come to God and make that first step. He meets us right where we're at. Take one step is all he needs. One step, one right next step. He comes running to meet us, right? Not only is God reassuring Jeremiah, reassuring us, he actually speaks through Jeremiah, Ebed-Melech, the Cushite, right? He's not Israelite. He's not one of God's chosen people. He would have been a Gentile, right? He's a someone who believes in God. He's not one of the chosen people, right? And yet, because of his faith, because of his trust in God, Jeremiah actually speaks through him to reassure him and encourage him. God was still in control of the situation, even in the midst of what looked like an uncontrollable situation, right? That God is sovereign over anything we're facing, no matter how control or out of control we feel. God's always in control. Amen? Again, we're seeing how that step of faith and trust and obedience on Ebed-Melech's part, seek out God and seek out Jeremiah. And not only to seek out, but to listen to Jeremiah, right? Because Zedekiah sought him out and didn't listen. He's one of God's chosen people, right? And yet Jeremiah speaks to Ebed-Melech and allows him, along with Jeremiah, God allows him to be protected and rescued as well. And that promise is there. Him because of his faith and his trust and his obedience. I also love too, and not only was God close to Jeremiah during this time, but says that he put like-minded own people around Jeremiah. Again, not only was God looking to protect Jeremiah himself, but he wants to use community as a form of protection for Jeremiah too. And that's why connect groups are so crucial to a healthy, growing faith, right? As disciples, connect groups, we tell our leaders, connect groups are a place to protect and to care for one another. Again, because God wants like-minded own people around us for our protection, for our care, help speak into those situations, into our lives, right? So our second application question as we continue on, Jeremiah 39:18. What battle are you facing that the Lord wants to save you from? When we first declare and live out our trust in him. As we close out here, just reflecting on these two men and their two stories, right? Differences between Zedekiah in the first half and Jeremiah in the second half. Zedekiah ignored God's word, and Jeremiah not only believed, but shared God's word with boldness and with faith. Zedekiah was disobedient, whereas Jeremiah was obedient to God's commands. Zedekiah, he fled from attack. He abandoned his people, whereas Jeremiah remained faithful and steadfast in the midst of his trials. Remained faithful and steadfast to his role in leading the people and speaking to the people. Zedekiah was abandoned his position, his people. Jeremiah was faithful until the very end. Zedekiah, he relied on other people. He relied on the Egyptians and the Babylonians in the previous chapters for protection, for guidance, and for advice. Whereas Jeremiah relied on God, sought God for wisdom and next steps. Zedekiah, not only did he run from the Babylonians, he ran from God in the midst of everything he was dealing with. Whereas Jeremiah, he pressed into God, pressed into his presence, pressed into his word, found protection and refuge there. Again, finally, Zedekiah, his actions led to the death of himself and to others. Through Jeremiah, we saw it, Jeremiah's actions led to protection, provision from God, not only for himself, from those around him as well. Our actions, or lack thereof, have consequences more than just for ourselves. And so, yeah, these men have those comparisons. Again, not just comparisons for those in their own lives, but those around them as well, for God's people. We're going to keep continuing it through Jeremiah and see how the story continues playing out. How Jeremiah's examples can continue being example for us, hopefully, right? To walk in obedience, walk in trust what God has for us. Amen. So again, as we close out our application questions today, one from Deuteronomy 30:15, and from the first half, through Zedekiah's example, what are you choosing today? Life or death? Blessing or cursing? Are you seeking to love the Lord your God, to listen to his voice, and to hold fast to him more today than yesterday? Second question from Jeremiah's perspective, Jeremiah 39:18. What battle are you facing the Lord wants to save you from when we first declare and live out our trust in him? Our last application question, a bonus one to close out. How can we be less like Zedekiah, more like Jeremiah today and in the days ahead? How can we be less like Zedekiah and more like Jeremiah today and in the days ahead? Amen. Pray. Father God, we thank you. God, we thank you for the love and the grace and the warnings in your word. God, we thank you that you're not God that minces words. You're not God that causes confusion. But you're God of clarity, of clear instruction, of clear direction. God, we thank you that these words are here, Lord, because you love us, because you want your best and your prosperity for our lives. God, you want to see your people thriving. I pray, God, you would just give us those next steps. Give us that direction, Lord God, we each need for ourselves and for those around us. Lord, help us to walk boldly in faith and trust and hope the promises, God, in our lives. I pray, God, just for open eyes, ears, hearts, and minds in the days ahead, that help us to keep hearing your voice and seeing you move. God, give us those next steps we need to keep walking with obedience and trust and strength and love and your best and your protection and your blessing for our lives. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Fusion family. Love you guys. See you soon. God bless.